Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For all the joy that we're promised this time of year, there are many all around us who are far removed from joy. Mourning for loved ones, anxious over strained finances, uncertain whether estranged family and friends will respond to greetings and invitations. Some are truly expecting a blue Christmas. Joy can be hard to come by. Where will you find it? Well, let me tell you where you'll find it. You'll find it right here. This season brings joy as we anticipate Christ's birth, Christmas. But it takes time to arrive at his birth. We're tempted to jump the gun, skip over Advent, and get right to Christmas. But that isn't how life ever works. The things that bring us joy are worth the wait. The things that bring us joy don't come easily, but instead require patience. And as we wait, distractions can pop up and rob us of our joy. And into the void flows sorrow. So just when joy should be flooding upon us this time of year, it escapes us. As elusive as joy can be, sorrow takes hold far too easily. But you are blessed. You are blessed as the Magi. As they come full of joy, you come full of joy as well. Rejoice with the Magi, for Christ answers your sorrows. Rejoice. You do have reason for joy. Consider everything that you enjoy. Right? That's the same word. Consider that. God provides you with daily bread. Do you enjoy your daily bread? Yeah? Everything that has to do with the support and the needs of our bodies, we are given from the Lord. Even more than that, how much more do we have in our daily lives than just the bare minimum bread? We all have plenty more. You have reason for joy. You are all too easily distracted from your reasons for joy, though. Herod was distracted. We want to be like the Magi, but we tend to be like Herod. Have you ever considered yourself to be like Herod? He is one of the arch enemies of God, right? We know better than to be like Herod. See, the Magi arrive in Jerusalem looking for the one born king of the Jews. And we want to be like them, looking for Jesus. Herod calls the scribes so they can tell him where Jesus was born, where he is to be found. And the answer is found in the prophet Micah. The promise of the Lord delivered by the prophets is fulfilled in Christ. What generations of the faithful had been longing to see, what so many had spent their lives desiring, now stands fulfilled. There was patience. There was waiting. But Christ came. That is reason for joy. But not for Herod. He's distracted from joy by power and love of the status quo. He plots to kill the Christ child in order to safeguard his own power. He's quite content with the way things are. And he will not tolerate a rival to his throne, to his world, to his way. Once joy departs, sorrow finds a home. You know what that is. You certainly know what that is. Perhaps, however, not in the same way Herod does, probably in the opposite direction of Herod. You've been distracted from joy by your lack of power, so that you sorrow over things never going your way. He wanted to maintain things going his way, but you never get yours. Why, oh why, can't just this one time things work out the way I want them to? Who sings that song? Just this once I would like Murphy's Law not to kick in. But notice what happens. While focused upon what you don't have, you lose sight of what you do have. And so joy flees. Rather than rejoicing in all that God provides us with, our daily bread and more, we're distracted by frustration with the status quo. You covet more. You covet what others enjoy, what you see them enjoying at least. Instead of seeing the Lord's bounty given to you, individually, unique to your situation, you see what others have been given that is unique to their situation and what you don't have. And when joy departs, sorrow makes your heart its home. Sorrow exceeds sadness. It is more than sadness. It exceeds it in duration. It exceeds it in intensity. Sadness comes and goes. But sorrow remains for prolonged periods of time. The longer it stays, the more piercing it becomes. Sorrow is the true antithesis to joy. Joy requires patience as you wait for the realization of what you desire. Waiting to open your shop. Waiting for marriage, perhaps, waiting for rest, waiting for your family and your friends to finally confess Jesus and join you in church, waiting for Christmas. Sorrow feeds off your impatience as you wait, so that the longer you must go without having what you desire, the deeper sorrow becomes. Sorrow tells you that joy doesn't come from waiting, that your desire must be met right now, instant gratification. And we live, what, in the second generation of that being the norm? Give it to me now, I can't wait. How has sorrow robbed you of your joy? However it's happened, Christ answers your sorrow. He answers it by who he is. He won't be who Herod wants him to be, a rival who can easily be killed so that power can be preserved and the status quo maintained. He won't be that guy. He won't be who you want him to be, your own personal genie in a bottle who bows to your every desire, treating you as if you were the king, the god, who upends the status quo so that things can go as you dream right this instant. Jesus won't be who you want him to be. He will be far more than you want him to be. He will be who you need him to be. You see, who he is who he is when the Magi arrive. Matthew says that when they saw the child, they fell down and worshiped him, the child. A more accurate translation of that is that when they saw the child, they
fell down, they prostrated themselves before him. 30 years later, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary will find Jesus outside of an empty tomb, and they will do the exact same thing. They will prostrate themselves before him. Then the 11 will meet Jesus in Galilee and will prostrate themselves before him. You only prostrate yourself before God. The Magi knew that. The women at the tomb knew that. The 11 disciples knew that. And that prostration before who Christ is at Christmas and Epiphany, that prostration reveals joy. The women at the tomb were overjoyed to see Jesus resurrected from the grave. Conqueror of death. And so were his disciples. This is the kind of God you have. You may not want him to be this way, but this is who he is, and this is who you need him to be. The kind that chooses to humble himself and be born, not in legendary Jerusalem, but in lowly Bethlehem of Judah. The kind that chooses to die rather than kill, and to rise so that you might receive what you need, forgiveness and salvation, rather than what you want, which doesn't compare at all to those gifts. The king's greatness is found in his humility. So Matthew tells us that the Magi rejoiced a great joy greatly. If you're counting, that's two joys and two greats in the same sentence. Matthew is making the point that the reason to rejoice is doubly abundant. It's like that Double Mint commercial. Anybody remember the Double Mint commercial? Oh, that lasted for a long time, didn't it? I just remembered that. That went on forever. Double, how'd it go? Someone please help me. The twins. Double. That's what Matthew's doing in the gospel. Double. Matthew is making the point that the reason that we have to rejoice is double. It is abundant. And it's because Jesus is who Jesus is, not who we want him to be. He is the God who gives you not what you want, but what you need. His coming in the flesh, his dying and rising in the flesh, all so that you would be forgiven in your flesh, and that you would be resurrected in your flesh to live forever with him in the flesh in the new heavens and the new earth. He whom sages westward faring humbly worshipped, offering sharing. Why worship this child? Well, because the Lord has revealed to the Magi who this child is and why he's come. Lying helpless in a manger, poor and bare and lowly, to set you free from all your sorrow wholly. That's who Jesus is, the one who sets us free from sorrow and brings joy. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.